Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Mike and Max Off-Road Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Austin.
And I'm Max Krause, and we're taking you from the garage to collateral damage.
Boom!
Yeah.
Woo, woo, woo.
I thought we were doing the booyah.
Oh, I was trying to copy Dirthead Dave when he goes, woo, on the intro, nice. You know, he's always like, woo.
Dude, that was a cool trip.
Heck yeah.
Collateral damage. You know, it's probably one of the harder trails that we can really squeeze all of our full body sized Jeeps through.
Yeah.
But I liked it. It was a good day.
It's got to be the max. I mean, literally, yeah. That was the pinnacle of my year, bro.
Oh, no, I got you. Oh, really? Yeah. That was the, whoa.
Yeah, because I had such a shitty time on it last time.
Yeah. Man. And it's been, what, 3 years since you've driven it?
Yeah, at least.
Because I think it's been almost two for me.
Yeah.
Close. Or 18 months or something around those lines.
Crazy.
But it was pretty cool, man. We got to meet up with everyone fairly early. 7 a.m. at the Shell.
Right. Dude, I was so afraid of missing the Shell because I'm not used to the Shell. And normally we meet at like the little pan.
Yeah.
You know, but you can see it pretty easy. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I threw that off.
It's the New River exit. That finally it clicked for me.
Oh, okay.
Because I was like, where's the Shell? Everyone just says the Shell, you know, like.
Right.
But it's there's only one New River exit, and it's directly off the freeway. It's pretty easy now. I'm used to it now.
Cool.
So how was your getting ready?
Right. So after busting my ass, contemplating having my wife call me a bitch and all kinds of stuff for trying to put it on the trailer, you know, I finally just caved in and decided to put it on the trailer. I woke up at 4 in the morning, dug it out from the side of the house because the trailer, like you've mentioned.
Oh, you cleaned it off in the morning?
Yeah.
You didn't get it ready.
No, because I was welding those C pillars in until like 9:30 at night. Yeah. You know,
nice.
I don't know why I wait till the last minute for every single thing I do.
That's what we do.
But I do, right? So So basically, I stayed up all night Friday welding everything. I couldn't get the windshield apart like I wanted to because there was, you know, I didn't have another hand there, and it would break if I tried to take it off. It's a mess. So luckily, I left it on because I woke up before, dug the trailer out, got the Jeep loaded onto it, hooked it to the truck, pulled everything out, took off, and my truck's just not big enough to pull it. You know what I mean? I had a little half-ton Chevy. The transmission was overheating. I couldn't get it over 60 miles an hour. I made it literally to the mall, to the outlet malls.
And you limped it to the mall.
Barely, bro. I was like, this sucks. You know, luckily, the Jeep was absolutely ready for the trail. I did get that the night before. Because honestly, I figured Friday night, I said, I'm going to wake up and decide what I'm going to do with the trailer.
Yeah.
I almost didn't bring it.
Friday night.
Like, I know I've been building up to it. I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And I was so afraid of this stupid trail that, excuse me, I waited. The Jeep was ready to go. I could have just jumped in the Jeep and left. But for some stupid reason, I put it on the trailer. Anyway.
So, I got a quick question.
Sure.
You said it was so ready to go. You're very confident, whatever. Was there ever a point in the trail where you thought like, oh, this is it? The axle snapping in half. The drive shaft's jumping out.
Nope.
I'm flipping over.
Nice. Yes and no, I guess. So when we first pulled down
But never a failure. You were never worried about a failure.
No.
I think rolling over is not a failure, right? That's just like, oops, no. I rolled over.
So I made it through, you know, so when I very first pulled up and I saw the first obstacle, my first thing was like, this is way bigger than I thought it was.
Really?
You know what I mean? I was like, there's no way I'm getting through there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got to tell you something funny, too, about how we led. Okay, so anyways, but once I made it through the first obstacle and I got to the second one, which was funny because I thought the second one is where you and I almost went over backwards, and it wasn't.
It's
the
way
next
further.
One. Yeah. Right. But I thought it was that one. So in my brain,
you made it all easy.
Dude, I walked right up, and I was so like, yeah, fuck this trail. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to win this, you know?
And then here it comes.
And then when I saw the actual one, I was like, oh, my God, this is the one I was actually afraid of. When I made it up that one, zero issues, didn't even spin a tire. Then all of a sudden, like, I got calm and confident and was like, oh, I'm going to do this trail. You know what I mean? Like, and then it just got better and better and better, where last time it went way downhill. Boom, 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 shittier. Yeah, so then once I made it past that obstacle, then I was like, all right, we're on.
And smooth, like grip, traction, control.
Yeah, it was awesome. That was awesome. We'll get into that in a bit. But do you know how we figured out who's going to lead?
Nope.
Okay. So after I dumped the truck and trailer, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know. Did we just say that? Did I drop it at the mall? Yeah.
Yep.
So basically dumped it at the mall, and I had to unload the Jeep and haul ass to the meetup. So we met up with everybody. Then everybody's like, who's going to lead this? Uh-huh. Oh, no, not me, not you. You. And everybody's pointing at each other.
At one point, I thought I saw old man Don as the leader.
Dude, it was Don, myself, Dennis,
yeah,
Daryl. That's a lot of D's, bro. Don, Dennis, and Daryl. No wonder I'm always getting them mixed up. We're all sitting there, and they're like, I'm not leading either. And again, we're all pointing at each other. I pull a quarter out, and I go, okay, tails is Dennis, heads is Don. Or not, tails is Dennis, and yeah, the other one is Daryl.
Daryl.
Whatever. Dennis and Daryl. I didn't give anybody else any other choice.
Okay.
And they went, okay, who is it? And I flipped a quarter, we're like, it's Daryl. He's like, oh, all right. That was it. That's how we picked it, dude.
But that was probably the best Jeep to lead. For clearance, like belly clearance, tire size. Yeah. I mean, he's pretty much the biggest, most built guy we know.
He was... You'd have to get that reference from the last podcast.
Tire size, he's the biggest. Oh. The 41.5s, which on this trail, the belly clearance breakover and tire size is what helped him in that obstacle.
Yep.
And many obstacles.
Yep. Me too. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I only touched the belly one time.
Damn.
And it touched it like this far. That was it.
That's awesome.
But it was enough. So
enough to get you stuck?
Yeah, it would have. Oh. We'll get to that obstacle when we get there. So... yeah, so we had 11 Jeeps, a bunch of JKs, one JL.
Your Willys?
My Willys, and a couple new builds, right? It was Richard Russell, he's wheeled a couple times. Yeah. Adams Shakedown, or secondary.
No, not Shakedown, but I mean, close enough.
Yep.
New.
Those two showed up. Your Jeep didn't show up, though.
Mm-mm. I ran out of gas on the welder.
Tell us, bro.
The night before. I got a new windshield because it was shattered. It was shattered.
Just
whatever.
Pictured really shattered. Yeah.
And I don't like driving it. Like, I don't want to get pulled over for any reason that is not necessary.
So they can pick everything apart.
And I got insurance. You know, they swap out my rock crawler windshield all the time, you know?
And we're like, this was a road chip, huh?
Yeah. it was. And so in order to really fix it, obviously I got a windshield. And then the way my roll cage works, it ties in from in front of the engine, and then the A-pillar is the next tie-in to the frame. So that whole thing, when you hit the rock slider by the A-pillar, it has enough flex. You know, we're talking like a quarter inch or maybe 3/8, you know? And if that moves that much, it breaks the windshield. So in between the front and the A-pillar, I built two new bars that actually clamp the engine bay area and then tie it down into the frame.
Gotcha. And, so that can't come up.
And that it should limit it severely. And the way the guy who put in my windshield is like an off-road guy, Tom, you know, Pepe with the Toyota.
Yeah.
And they did it like kind of in a special way where like it's super squishy. Like they somehow left the windshield a little up higher and it's like a really soft compound. So like I could squeeze it I can stick my finger in there and squeeze it. So there's that much more give, you know, before you ever hit glass.
Right.
And then I was going to finish those tie-ins the night before and I ran out of gas, which sucked. It was like 8 p.m. And I just said, screw it. I'm going to have a really good day. I called Steve. He said he's got an open seat and I just had a great time.
Nice. Yeah.
No stress.
Yeah, dude,
I had like a nice dinner at home.
You said you had a great time, and I was like, what the hell are you doing while I'm slaving away in the garage? Because I had plenty of gas.
I watched a movie, you know, I was like, this isn't. And I went to bed at like 9. Mm. It was so great.
Dude, I was out in the garage still. Didn't even clean up. At 9. That would have been nice. Yeah,
I woke up at 5, pretty easy.
Yeah.
And I was like, the little birds are all like, you know, and I'm like, all right.
That's funny, dude.
Time to go wheeling.
Yeah, that was, it was funny because you go, I show up, I go, hey, or as soon as I walk up and meet you at the meeting, at the meat place, you go, dude, I ran out of gas. And I go, oh man, that sucks. And then I'm doing my video intro thing. And I go, hey, Max's Jeep's not here. And I go back. I go, dude, where's your Jeep? You go, bro, I told you I ran out of gas. I was like, oh, fuck. I was supposed to fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
Just
guess.
Yeah, guess, dude. But
I just didn't want to break another windshield.
Yeah, no, it makes sense, too. So. And like you said before, dude, like I had gas. Because I was like, you could have came got some. But then you're rushing like a bad man. Everything's fucking, you feel totally
been at,
out
I would have been
it.
At your house till midnight. There's probably 10 more things I really should have done. Which would have been feasible at home without driving all over.
Yeah. And, but no, it was the right call for sure. Plus,
I agree.
We ended up with 11 Jeeps in there. It was so many Jeeps. A few of the obstacles Like Steve, you guys were towards the back. I was up towards the front, and he said, "Shit, I barely even got to see you wheel." And I was like, "Me too." I couldn't even see the. I never even got to see the absolute off road guy until the last two obstacles. Yeah,
Jason.
Yeah,
because I barely saw him too. And then during the traffic jam towards the end of the trail, we started chatting.
Yeah,
and he's a cool guy.
Super cool.
Yeah.
It was
very
crazy.
Friendly. Nice.
As soon as I went through the first one, and we spent a lot of time on the first obstacle.
2.5 hours.
I know. Is that crazy?
2.5 hours to get 11 Jeeps up one obstacle.
That's insane.
And everyone worked it, dude.
We were talking about halfway into there that we should have probably made the try it three times and pull rule. Just because we had so many. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Drinking beer. Because we had so many and... We were only on the first one. We didn't know how good it ended up was gonna go. You know,
but I think your mindset was like, I'm gonna get in there and I just want to work it and do this and try it. You know, I'm with my friends. No one really cares. And then if halfway through you're on the second half of the group, they're like, not you. Yeah. You don't get to, dude. Try
pull a line, bro.
Every obstacle.
I've been in there for
Chris,
4 hours.
Bayer, buyer.
Was he on a lot? What did he try a bunch?
I never saw him.
Or we just
I kind of just left him.
The funny thing though is there was a few points where like we're standing down there. I'm trying to do videos of the guys coming through, and they're like, "Bro, you got to move your Jeep." We were wall to wall Jeeps.
I know.
With zero, you couldn't even walk between them. You had to walk the whole length from one obstacle to the next, and three or four were still at the other end.
I remember we were parked on an obstacle because you guys were all working the next obstacle.
Yep.
There was no more room.
Yep.
Like.
Several times it was like that.
Yeah.
So that was cool. I mean, well, spoiler alert, I made it through. We'll just talk about me.
Yeah.
This is all about me. No. I drove 99.999% of that trail.
Hey, you had one tiny tug of the winch.
Yep.
Which I think you could have worked it.
I think so too. That's where I was saying my belly.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it was at.
Oh, that's okay.
It was at the top of the big fall, right? And I really kicked myself for... Not okay. So if you guys could picture this for podcast only land, so it's this big ass waterfall and there's a really hard buggy line to the left and a rig, you know, all the way over, but far right is where we normally a lot of the guys go.
And it's still very challenging.
Yeah. It's off camber. It's up straight up. So I get up in there, crawls right in. I took your line from when you did the black JK when you went in there, same line. And after contemplating it a bunch while we were waiting,
there was no other line. What are you going to do? The waterfall?
No. I mean, right there, instead of going straight in, right in the far edge on the right, you could kind of come at it straight and turn into it and up, which is a little less off camber, but you have to make a turn, right? So I went in, I used your line after looking, and I'm like, no, I'm just going to stick with it. Because you walk through it without missing a beat.
Mm-hmm.
I go into it. I get all up.
On 37s.
Yeah. And I look down. And my back tire, so the front's almost to the top. The back tire is about to drop into this hole, right? But so right there, I was like, shit, I want to keep going. There's no reason to not keep going. However, I'm at a point where if this front tries to lift off, I could tumble backwards pretty wicked. So, but
it didn't look that bad.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. So again, looking at the tape afterwards. And right after that, Don went right up it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
he didn't pull no cable.
Nope. Because he knew, you know, well, he saw that I didn't flip over when I fell in that hole.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Because you guys are the two shorter wheelbase Jeeps.
Yeah.
Besides Jason, who we ignored. He was in the back. And then.
The guy's a, whatever.
He's a pro.
That's what I wanted to say. Yeah. The guy's a professional. But you're right. So basically I said, pull the cable. Just in case for safety, I want the line on it just in case it wants to fall off. But I started to climb it. I climbed it with a loose line all the way up. And the line at one point was laying on the ground. And somebody's like, you got to winch it in. So I was pulling it in as I'm going up or whatever. And when I hit the very top, it did. It rubbed the bottom. And like you said, I just sat there, let the tire spin or chug along. And I could have backed up or wiggled it a little or gave it a little gas or done something, but I didn't.
Like, I think that's called wheeling.
Yeah, wheeling.
You should have wheeled it.
Should have wheeled it. But instead, I gave it a little bump.
Yeah.
And now
on the winch.
On the winch, which just was enough to crest it. And it wasn't. It was literally like a half of a second is the only part.
Yep.
But I drove the whole entire trail.
It almost looked like you didn't need the assistance, but you saw the winch rope like snug and you kind of drove.
Yep.
You probably got such a minor amount of help.
Yeah, literally somebody could have just pulled it with a rope.
And then, you know what? Now that I think about it, you shouldn't have winched because of your battery issues later on, which we can't get into.
Yeah, you're yet. Right. I was going to say.
In order. We got to go. We got to try to keep in order.
You're right. So aside
hard.
From that,
it's hard, though.
Everything else drove mm-hmm. like it was a champ, bro. Yeah. One shot at almost everything. Yeah, that's it.
How about, you know, you basically installed the Magnum Box Doubler for this type of a trail, right?
Right, for that trail specifically.
Yeah, specifically.
But you're the same for that type, but because of that trail.
Yeah.
Because of how out of control it was.
So how worth it is it?
It's worth every penny,
yeah,
without a doubt. The control that I had was absolutely amazing.
But you're a manual. I'm a manual now also.
That's right.
And before you're like, what, 55 to 1, 50 to 1,
yeah,
whatever, in that range.
Yep.
And you're like lunging almost, right? Like you'd have to like kind of like feather and gas and like go and like then your wheels are going.
Yeah, and you're constantly doing this forward and backwards and it's a constant rock balance. Yep. Yeah, it's a nightmare, dude, to try to do
now that. You basically have control. Like you know how Tyler and Jimmy on the Snail Trail podcast, they talk about like the more you multiply gearing, the more torque you get.
Yep.
Like, do you feel that? Like, do you feel like it's torque or do you feel like you're just slowed down?
Dude,
or
it's
both.
It's everything. I don't. Yeah. Yeah. You're not. I'm not worried about it stalling, which shockingly it did stall twice.
Yeah.
Which it was. But
on a really steep climb, though.
It was in the V.
Yeah. About I was going to say a bound up and steep climb.
Yeah. We're like just two tires are on the ground. But it was also having engine problems. It's hard to explain. It was so comfortable and so controlled. Like, it didn't need the gas.
Yeah.
It would chug. It didn't spin a tire because it just literally walked everything.
That's awesome.
It was actually beautiful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you could feel like, as long as you had the momentum going, like that one where it got really, really, really steep. And Dennis is like, come on, keep going.
Yeah.
And it went up and I was waiting for it to unload and it never unloaded. It never missed. It just creeped right over and crested and walked right up.
I think that's the difference too, between like being in the gas and like squatting the suspension and like it releasing, you know, like you're just, I don't know. It's such a low end torque in a way that you're just chugging away and the suspension is doing what it needs to. It's not being, there's no input from like the throttle almost, you know,
there was hardly none.
Yeah.
Until I knew I was over.
That's awesome.
And then I give it a little gas to get out of the way.
And you're right now, you're at what, 159 to one is your final crawl?
Yep. And I really thought I'd start that trail in like third or like the 3-1 instead of the 5-1.
Uh-uh.
And the whole thing was 5-1. But
nice.
It was literally perfect. I couldn't ask for
So the 5-1 is your Magnum Box and your transfer case multiplied.
Yeah. Nice. As low as it'll go.
See, and I'm, yeah, but you have a really low first gear in the transmission, right? That SM465. Mm-hmm. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
Because I know I have a 4-1 T case, which sounds very close to the 5-1, but I'm like way off on the first gear in the transmission, you know, which gets you a lot lower.
Exactly. Yeah, because you're somewhere in the one or something.
80s.
No, but I mean, your first gear is like a
4.
Oh, it is 4.
Maybe 4.01.
Oh, that's not bad then. Huh. Yeah, it's, I couldn't have been. Like, I'll praise the Magnum Box. It's not even that it's the Magnum Box. It's just that's the one I picked.
Yeah.
They have, like, the
No,
the black.
It's the doubler effect of
exactly.
having an underdrive and a transfer case.
Yep.
That effect. Like, it could be an Atlas 4-speed. It could be a Magnum Box. It could be the Strong Box.
The Black Box.
It could
black
be
box, all of,
whatever you can build into your transmission to work is the same idea.
Yep. The 203, 205, whatever. That thing, hands down, is worth it all day long. Yeah.
And another thing that I really enjoyed later on in the day is talking with Jason from Absolute Off-Road.
Yeah.
And because I had a hard time even finding anything that would work with my transmission and my transfer case. Like the Magnum Box, like what you have, works with my transmission, but I have to run a 205.
Right.
Which I don't have. Right.
Right.
But we could find one, whatever. More money, different. But it only gets me to 5-1.
Right.
So it's like, it's not much better for quite a bit of cost, you know, like. And the work to build it, the drive shafts have to be redone, you know, to go from 4-1 to 5-1. I'm like, that's not that great, you know. But what he ended up recommending was a company called D&D. And I did find out that the Strong Box would work also.
Oh, nice.
Because I came across them in the research for the D&D gearbox, basically.
Right.
But we don't need to get into that.
Cool.
But
right.
It's cool to know that there is an option for me and it would get me to 250-1.
Whoa. But I think you might need that with your first gear.
Yeah, right.
Because the 251 was cool, but
Well, that is including the first year. So like if I had a 273 and 273 stacked versus a 273 and a 40 transfer case.
Right.
I know the numbers might come out kind of fast, but I think that gearing is actually a little bit more ideal, but I'd rather have the strong 4-to-1 Rubicon transfer case versus like a stock transfer case, you know.
Yeah, we did the video when because Adam has 250-to-1.
And is where he is at too.
Yeah, and I'm 151 and he's 250, and we raced in the parking lot.
Yeah,
and I was literally going exactly double the speed.
Yeah,
and I slowly creeped out,
but extremely small. I mean, extremely slow. Double the speed.
Yeah, it was cool though. Yeah. It was cool to see them both next to each other like that.
I was glad someone got the video. Yeah. It was Richard, right? Richard Russell.
Yep.
With Rig Times.
Rig Times. Go check it out. It's on Rig Times.
Oh, UTI you went over. Adam. Oh. You went over the advertising budget.
Oh, sorry.
I'm just kidding.
Sorry, bro.
You know, Richard does Rig Times. He's cool. Check it out.
Yeah. But, yeah, so it was cool. All right, so what else? Let's see. On the last podcast, we were really worried about Dennis going through and Steve and Adam and Richard.
All the Dana 44s, the U-joints, ring and pinions.
More or less the really beautiful Jeeps.
Oh, true.
You know
true,
what I mean? True. Getting all scratched because, I mean, like Steve and Dennis. My Jeep still looks the exact same as it came off that trail. And those
they already cleaned it up. They're still polished packed, bro.
The only thing I did is open the tote to get my drill out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because you needed it.
That's it for my job. So it's literally still there. But it broke. So it broke at the end. It needs a battery. Anyway. We haven't discussed that part yet. But they all made it under unscathed. Yeah.
Like one guy knocked off a taillight. One guy got some scratches on the side of his Jeep.
Yeah, we it's funny. We say.
I don't know why.
Right.
I wasn't trying.
So we'll just go with those two things, right? Start with the taillight thing. We're like, oh, thank God it was just a taillight.
Yeah.
But like an $800 taillight?
I know. I think it was actually $599.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But
right.
I saw him get a bunch of blue tape and some Bond. Did you see that picture? Yeah. Because I think he had to tow it right away to go back to California.
Oh.
And it probably has to have running taillights.
Well, had to glue.
To not get pulled over.
Yeah. The tape was on there for glue till the glue dried. Because he glued it all back together. But it worked, dude. Saved him $600. That's awesome.
For one.
One freaking taillight.
I don't think that's a set.
No, that's one. Yeah, right.
You know, I was just listening to the Snail Trail podcast.
Right.
And Jimmy was like, I needed a taillight lens, blah, blah, blah. And then two taillights was the same price as one or two lenses, you know, $40. So he got two new taillights. And I'm thinking like, God, Rod's going to spend $600 on one taillight.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So his blinker can communicate with a satellite and tell NASA what he's doing on the trail.
But he just took a JL through there. Which is pretty ballsy.
Yeah.
That was pretty insane.
Ooh, should we say it?
What?
Ballsier than Todd. No. Don't say that. No. The other JL guy, Todd.
Oh. Is that the AZ JL
guy? Yeah.
I don't know him.
But you said that about Rod.
Oh, I don't know. Well, I know Rod.
Everybody knows Rod. Come on.
Rod.
Rod. RC3 guy.
Yeah.
With other words.
Right. Anyway, whatever.
Todd will appreciate it. He'll appreciate a shout out.
Why didn't he come?
I have no clue. He never said anything in the end, and I actually don't think he wanted to drive it. Even like the week before, but I was just so busy. Like I wasn't keeping up with anyone or anything besides like work, the home life, and trying to work on the Jeep, which totally failed. You know,
dude, I was the same way though. Like I'm the worst at inviting people. You know, I'd rather just show up and take care of myself.
Exactly.
So, if I didn't invite you and I said I would, I absolutely apologize.
Yeah, it's not on purpose. It's not malicious.
But no. So my thing is like, I just don't like. I try not to plan stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean with anybody.
Yeah.
I just don't plan things. I just like. What is that going on? Oh, the social? Cool. If I'm there, I'm there. Or if I'm going somewhere and I know something, I'll be like, yo, I'm going camping. I'm just telling you we're going camping. You can show up if you want.
Exactly. You know? I think I'm very similar.
Yeah.
It's hard to like confirm and be there. And I checked the Facebook page, yes. And I messaged my Instagram buddy, yes. And I told Mike, yes. And now I have to let Steve know. And I got to let Dennis know. And then I got to let Richard know. And Yeah, we don't do that. We don't do that,
dude. Like even on the messengers, like I'll look in, read it, book, or I'll walk in and go, hey, I'll ask a question literally and shut it off and then not go look, and everyone answers, and I'm not in there anymore.
I know.
I'm the worst. So
I've done that.
I suck, dudes. I'm sorry about
that's
that.
That's good though. You got to do the post and drop.
That's exactly what it is. But I ask a question like, hey man, anybody know good embroidery? And I'm out. Like I never even checked.
And you found one anyways.
Yeah. Well, like... no, I did use somebody, but anyway.
We got to stick to collateral damage trail highlights.
I was just about to go there.
But I got you there first.
Okay. Cool. It says, right. I want to know.
What does it say?
We look up. Or I looked up.
Uh-oh.
And I hear, Max stole Dennis's Jeep. In literally one of the hardest obstacles on the entire trail.
So what happened, Mike?
So.
I'll tell you. Orange Chris is to blame, first of all. Not me. I'm not responsible for my actions. I was going to pull up Dennis's Jeep and just bring it up, you know? And then Dennis was spotting the other guy, and I was like, haha, I'm driving your Jeep, you know? I wasn't going to wheel it through the obstacle in my head, right?
Right. I figured as much.
And I was wearing his helmet to be funny, you know, which I had to take off because it got pretty stressful, you know?
Right.
And then he's like, oh, no, just wheel it through. And I was like, okay.
Like, has Dennis been through there? Does he know how hard that crack is?
I think he's been through there, maybe not in the JK, but, you know, he's been wheeling for years.
Yeah.
He had to replace the body on one of his LJs because it was so mangled.
Oh, shit.
Like, those are all those cool photos in his garage.
Yeah, and Toyotas but and all kinds of stuff.
Dennis said, I trust you enough to drive, and there's no one better to spot my Jeep than me. Oh. Dennis said that, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. You know, like, I trust him, and I trust his opinion, and I trust me that I'm not going to, like, do anything dumb in his Jeep, which is very shiny and... now has three more scratches,
right.
But
you did not make it through unscathed.
No.
And it was the first set of scratches.
No, I think he's got scratches before. Nope. They're probably just hidden.
Right.
He hid them.
I'm sure he's polished them back up and repainted them. Yeah. It's probably repainted already.
But it was pretty cool. And his Jeep definitely drives different than the one I used to have because I was like trying to feel the gas or I've just been driving the manual so long that it's real hard to feel the torque converter issue now, you know, like, I don't know. But, I took it as easy as I could. I followed his instructions to a T, and we made it through 97% unscathed.
Right. Dude, I walk around, and you're so deep in that crack, dude. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
And the top was almost – that was that's right, because I was behind you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one – the top was almost touching the rock.
Yeah.
That's why we hooked my winch to his B-pillar and torqued him over.
Yeah, you like pulled the body away, and then we somehow worked it and drove it through.
Yeah,
and...
we had – a guy, you winching on the front. Uh-huh. Was somebody winching you or you were winching?
I was winching. I had the controller in the cab. He has a sweet ass like toggle switch controller that matches the switch panel, but it's a toggle both ways.
Oh, nice.
So it's like the center's off, up is in, down is
like a
out.
Momentary one.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
It's a cool in-cab switch.
So as you would winch, because I'm watching, as you would winch forward, it would tighten my winch. I had to release my winch, but not enough to lean you against the wall. And it was a tug of war to keep you off the wall as you're pulling through the crack and eventually get through.
It was a little stressful, especially because it's not my Jeep.
Yeah.
And I know Dennis's Jeep is very nice. It's very clean, you know. It's on 40s.
Dude, I was so worried of the two winches just pulling the A-pillar apart or the B-pillar apart, bro.
Yeah.
Because
I don't think it can. It's so bolted. And
just so the audience can picture this, I drove up into the obstacle to the right of you, but my front driver's tire is just behind your passenger tire.
Yeah,
it's not
and
like
they
I'm
were
way
touching,
off.
Right?
Yeah.
They were like, they were collided at one point.
Yeah, at one point it rolled back into it and was on top of it. But it's not like I had a nice, sweet side pull on you. We were pulling front and back, but it was enough to keep it off the wall.
And we ended up doing that for like five or six of the Jeeps.
Yeah.
Pretty much all the four-door JKs in that line. A couple guys tried to take it really high on the driver's side wall, and a couple guys tried to take it pretty far passenger along like this off-camber line, and almost everyone ended up in that spot where I ended up.
Yeah,
It almost didn't matter if you went left or right. You ended up in a crappy spot. I think I was just the first one to end up in the crappy spot in someone else's Jeep.
Yeah.
So I was like,
Well, Daryl did, but he was big enough. He just mowed through it.
I think he got some. I think he hit the windshield frame.
That's right. He has a dent.
It's the windshield frame or the pillar. One of the two, and he's got a nice ding.
Yeah, he posted a picture. Said it's almost total, dude. And it's like a little dent, a little tiny dent.
That's too funny.
I made it through unscathed. Didn't touch nothing.
Yeah,
drove right over it.
Yep.
So, which was good, but I did take the right side. I didn't try the car.
Somebody else, I think one of the four-door JKs did it like fly. Was it Chris Bayer, maybe? No, he ended up all sorts of stuck.
Yeah, he had to be twisted up too, both winches to get him.
Maybe
up.
It was before Chris Bayer. I don't know. Some. I think one of the four-door JKs like just found the sweet spot line. Maybe it was Steve. I think no one winched Steve.
Really?
Johnson. Steve Johnson.
Good job, buddy.
Misbehaving, which on that trail he was very behaving.
Right.
V-behaving.
When he went through there, I missed it because I was had to move forward through the other crack, which was crazy.
But that was cool. That was definitely one of the hardest ops. Not the most technical, right?
Definitely
the most chance for body damage, which makes it technical, very involved, but still very fun.
It was damn fun. This time, like I was completely 100% redeemed.
Yeah.
Even though all the winching took out my battery because my battery's 5 years old, but it took out the battery and then... It was weird. I think it would short out because sometimes I would watch the alternator, the volt gauge, and it'd be like amps or whatever volts or whatever it is. It's like up around 13. And then it would just drop to like 8 and then go back up to 13. Like maybe it might be shorting somewhere. I haven't figured it out.
Hmm.
But
could it be your new alternator?
Maybe. I don't know.
No, because the battery should hold the amps, right?
Well, it would run good if the battery. So I have a circuit breaker.
Mm-hmm.
A busman or something. It's a resettable circuit breaker that protects the system and the brains and all that other crap. Well, that kept popping, kept triggering. So basically, if it was a giant fuse, it was popping the fuse constantly, right? So what I didn't know was every time that would pop, it would shut the fans off.
Yeah. Well, everything electronic, right?
Yeah.
And you don't have a big electronic dash. You don't really notice.
Had no clue.
And you're in the middle of an obstacle.
Right. So it did die in the middle of that crack, that crazy last V crack. So I had to get out while it was all twisted up, pop the hood, and I have that little jumper box. Yeah. Luckily, it was enough to jump it. Got it started again. Then I pulled through there, and I was like, well, we can't shut it off. I don't know what the hell I was thinking or why I couldn't just shut it off and re-jump start it. I let it run for almost 2 hours idling up there. And when I got up, it was so loaded up. You know what? It's a miracle that it didn't burn to the ground.
Wow.
because had that fuse popped, the fans would have shut off, it would have overheated, and I was nowhere even near it to see it, right? And I didn't even go back to it for an hour.
You don't think it would have died somehow eventually?
I have no idea, dude. I have no idea because when we got back, it was loading up and it was popping, and I was like, damn, dude. So I'd rev it up to blow it out, you know, and it's not modern fuel injected. It's a throttle body fuel injected, but... It was loading up, so we take off, and I was running. It was running like total shit. So I told Billy, jump out and pop that fuse. You know what I mean? Because it ran better when it was off. Like so, basically, it was running.
But it was off at that time.
No, it wasn't yet. Oh. So he popped it, but it was just running off the alternator, right? So then we take off and we're blasting up out of there, and I'm like, I see some smoke, and I'm like, oh man, check that out. You know, like it's got to be because I was leaking a little bit of brake, a power steering fluid because I have a hydro boost, so I was leaking a little power steering. And he would hit the manifold, smoke a little. I'm like, check that out. I'm like, man, that is a lot of smoke, bro. And then I go, I better check to see if this thing's on fire. So I jam on the brakes, you know, or stop, jump out. When I stop, it billows out, dude. It's spitting freaking radiator fluid up out of the reservoir. I was like, oh my God, it's overheating. I killed it. And the fans were off. I was like, son of a bitch. So
now you got no battery power.
Yeah, nothing. It won't even do anything. So... We cooled it off. While we're cooling it off, we used somebody else's. Somebody pulled up next to me. Mm. I don't even remember now, but they might have been Steve.
Don. Actually. Old man Don.
Oh, okay.
Young man Don.
Yeah. Short wheelbase guy.
Yeah.
So we just charged it up, got me enough to get it back home. And then I get it on the highway, and it's cruising, bro. Like, beautifully. Shoo! It never
Which is
felt
crazy
so
after,
good.
After, like, that's one of the hardest trails that we probably wheel.
Yeah.
And then to drive your Jeep that you built with your hands at 70 miles an hour,
basically a go-kart,
and not die.
Yeah, right. And it was the smoothest it has ever been, dude. And then back to the mall and put it back on the trailer and drive it home. And I was like, I left it out overnight. See, that's the other beautiful thing about not having a trailer.
Yeah.
I would come home previously, kick the garage open, roll it right in safe, and go right to bed. And then I had to get it home, and I had to unload some of the stuff that's expensive, you know what I mean, or could be stolen. And then I was worried about it all night, so I was peeking on it. It slept for shit, you know. And then I walk out the next morning, and I'm like, damn, I got to get out the trailer. What a huge pain in the ass. Walk over, borrow a buddy's battery jump box, my neighbor's. And I set it up there, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to try it. Damn thing started right up and drove
crazy.
It off. Yeah.
So I wonder if that fuse was popped like earlier on in the day.
And it just didn't charge.
Or like you said, you know, not driving it all the way to the trail. Maybe it sits so long, the battery's not quite right.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not holding a good charge. I would definitely replace it.
Yeah.
Dude, 5 years, you should just be happy.
Have you seen the prices of those batteries?
Dude, 5 years, you should just be happy.
Dude, Jesus.
What are they, $250? Yeah. At the most?
No, $300 for the Odyssey. And everybody keeps saying go to the Odyssey. But I got 5 years out of that Optima.
Yeah. Dude, I would go with the $150 Walmart one. It's 5-year warranty. No questions asked. Just throw it back in through the window, and they'll give you a new one.
The problem is, though, where it's at, it has to, that housing that I have only fits those two batteries.
That's right.
So it's kind of dumb.
Damn.
I'm stuck to an Odyssey or an Optima. And after seeing a $300 Odyssey, I'm probably just going to get an Optima. Even though
how much are those?
$220.
$70, $80.
Yeah. I don't know. But apparently,
get a warranty, no matter what. Try to get like, I don't know.
Do I definitely
they sell
need
battery
the
warranties.
I don't know.
Walmart does 5 years guaranteed.
I'd have to check it. I know like Sam's Club has the Optimas. Maybe I go there.
Oh, because you can almost take anything back.
Yeah.
Anyway. Like Costco and Sam's Club. Huh?
So it's still there. I'm gonna leave it there till after I get back from SEMA.
Nice. No. Yeah. You know. You're in no rush.
I'm actually doing what Daryl's doing. I'm taking a break.
I know.
I think
we all are.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us are because we've been building nonstop, wheeling quite a bit. And our break is what, 1 to 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And then we'll be all excited. A big old group will get
back
together.
Much spring camping, bro. Exactly. Camping and drinking and fire. Nice. That's what we need. Hell yeah. And the weather's beautiful. So cool.
But anyways, collateral damage, a success, 100%. I'd say.
Beautiful.
If you come to Arizona or you live in Arizona, should you wheel collateral damage?
It depends on your wheeling skill.
Yeah. So not necessarily your equipment, more so the skill, your patience, and your friends.
Yeah.
You got to have good friends. You got to, because we went from, we pretty much hit the trail at 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m.
Yeah.
On a trail that's less than 2 miles long.
And we were, and everybody was built. Like every, yeah. I mean, when I say built, everybody
reinforced, had, whatever. They're built up.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely, I mean, everyone had lockers. Everyone had.
Did anyone even, Old Man Don had 37s.
Okay.
Short wheelbase 37s. A bunch of guys ran it on 38 inch tires on the 4-door JKs.
Yep.
You got 39s ish, you know, that measure 38 ish, right. But whatever.
Almost, I think every single person at one point, except for Daryl, had a winch out.
Damn. Freaking Daryl killed it.
Yeah. Well, he was forced. I mean, like, it was funny. It's crazy.
And Daryl tried that big undercut waterfall, broke his winch in a suck down attempt. And he was giving it the goose.
For sure. There's that video of him just ripping back and forth, kicking the dirt and shoveling everything. Yeah. That's the same one I just walked up. It's just, it's crazy how if your belly hits or your belly doesn't, you're trying to drag 7,000 pounds. You know what I mean?
Ideally like, five.
Right.
It makes a big difference. If you got to pull 5,000 pounds up a hill versus 7,000 pounds, there's a difference.
Yeah. I did hear Drew Hutchins, our old friend.
Yeah.
He said that Table Mesa, like 107 inch wheelbase is perfect for out there. Because that's what his YJ is. And he said it was built for there specifically. And he said 107 is perfect. So 103 wasn't bad. 105 would be good, you know?
107 would be better.
Yeah.
Really 110, huh?
Actually,
let's upgrade Drew's comment from 1980 to 2019. Okay, Drew? 110 is what we are going to push you. And just, Drew, rebuild your YJ.
Yeah.
110.
I actually think, though, like if I had to go through there, I could go through first. You know what I mean?
Because
I, like you said, if I would have worked that top on the big obstacle, it would have went over.
What if you had 41.5 pit bulls? You'd be unstoppable.
Yeah, right.
Well, the clearance.
And look cool.
Ah, I'd the be looks. Holy
more
crap.
More than everybody.
Yeah, the looks.
But okay, cool.
Dude, we had an awesome trail day.
Yeah.
For a quick wrap up, we had an awesome trail day. We ate way too much food at Daryl's barbecue.
Oh,
thank
my
you,
God.
Daryl and Nancy, for cooking.
Yes, thank you.
No thank you for making me extremely fat.
Dude.
God damn.
It hit the spot.
Yeah.
Like, I rolled in a little bit late because I had to go get the damn trailer.
Yeah.
And the, that's funny. I had to go get the trailer.
Yeah, you had to wheel to the trailer.
Yeah.
Rescue the trailer, which right. needed multiple rescues.
Right. And my truck pulled it fine because it was downhill on the way home. Nice. Anyways, but I rolled in there like, I'm like, here's my money. Where's the food? Give me, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, that was money?
Yeah, we pitched in. Everybody pitched in $5.
Oh, we did? Yeah. Oops. Yeah. No one told me.
Oh.
I would have given him $5.
It's in that feed, the messaging feed.
Facebook?
Uh-huh. No, Messenger. You're on the Insta fame.
I didn't see that. Anyways. I swear, I'm sorry. If I owe you $5, Nancy, let me know.
No. So I threw in my dough and then grabbed a hot dog, grabbed a brat, grabbed a burger, grabbed some potato salad, dude, some beans. I was like,
yeah.
Dude, I was so freaking fat and happy. And then the worst came. You had to leave and go. I was all I wanted to do was go to bed.
Yeah.
And I was like,
tired.
Holy crap, man. But
and I didn't realize I had like brown dirt streaks down my face the whole time. Well, I think I actually cleaned up at their house a little bit, but I went to the gas station to grab some beer. Hmm. And I walked out and saw myself in the mirror. I was like, oh, I look like a homeless person.
Dude, you know what's crazy about how that trail is so tight with all the Jeeps, the way you're walking? Mm-hmm. You're just getting annihilated by the freaking thorns and the bushes.
Brutal.
Right. I was so dirty and so beat up by the time we got home. Like, my hands were black. My legs were trashed. And I had hiking boots on. And they're kind of old and wore out a little. But under the ball of my right foot, dude had a blister like that big from just walking back and forth.
God damn.
It was crazy.
And you were
driving. Yeah. Like, it was
insane. I walked around a lot.
I couldn't imagine. And it's all uphill, downhill. Mm-hmm. Like,
it was cool.
Yeah.
I like it though. I don't mind hiking trails like that.
Yeah, me neither.
Because there's like nowhere to go, first of all. You're walking from one obstacle to the next, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, and then sometimes a couple times I rode with Steve, I rode with Chris Bayer. Maybe someone else. I don't know.
It's such a good time. You drove.
Drove.
Stole a car.
Thanks, Dennis.
Right.
So, I Grand Theft Auto'd a car. Oops.
We should just be like, on that note, we're out. Peace. Hey, man, thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe, follow, share with a friend.
We survived. We ate great. We got to see our friends.
Yeah.
We're out. We'll be right back.